It is always good to be back. If you take your Bible and turn over to 1 Kings chapter 6, we'll start there. I was going through old sermons and outlines that I've worked up and trying to figure out what I was going to preach on. And coming up here, and Pastor Kenny had asked me if I'd preach. And while I was up here, I said, yeah, sure. I enjoy preaching. I'm nervous every time, so it doesn't seem like I would be enjoying it. But yeah, I love being nervous. It's the greatest. But I was going through sermons, trying to figure out what I was going to preach, and didn't really have peace about taking anything that I've already worked up. And then I was reading through my Bible and got an idea for a sermon, and well, tonight is the idea manifested. So it's either a good idea or a bad idea. You can find out. Don't let me know, but you'll find out. So in 1 Kings chapter 6, we're going to read just the first four verses, and that'll be the message. No. All right, first four verses, 1 Kings chapter 6. The Bible says, "And it came to pass in the 480th year after the children of Israel were come out of the land of Egypt, in the fourth year of Solomon's reign over Israel, in the month of Ziph," which obviously everybody knows about that month, "which is the second month," there we go, so explains it, "that he began to build the house of the Lord. In the house which Solomon built for the Lord, the length thereof was 60 cubits, and the breadth thereof 20 cubits, and the height thereof 30 cubits. In the porch before the temple of the house, 20 cubits was the length thereof," which I'm sure you could have just guessed that, "according to the breadth of the house, and 10 cubits was the breadth thereof before the house. And for the house he made windows of narrow lights." So I was going through my daily Bible reading, and I came across, obviously, 1 Kings chapter 6, which you ought to come across this throughout your years of reading your Bible, along with all the other chapters and books and all that. I instantly thought, like most people do, oh boy, yes, passages about building the temple. Obviously, everyone's favorite scriptures are filled with lengths, widths, heights, cubits, measures, baths, porches, and everything else is just always enjoyable to read about. And you think, man, I just got to slow down and take these measurements in, right? So, but as I began to with chapter 6, verse number 4 just kind of stuck out at me. And, you know, I began to think about just different windows that you and I have in our lives. And they each have specific purposes. Now, when you look at a house or you see different places, you think, man, why would somebody put a window there, right? You've been in a house and think, why is there a window right there? I'm like, I don't get it. Yeah, we were watching Toy Story the other day because I'm on that level. And we're watching Toy Story with the kids. It wasn't just me and Tanya. And, you know, Buzz, he's kind of mad that he's been called a toy, and he sees that window open. And he jumps to try to fly through it, and he obviously doesn't fly. But Tanya goes, why would they put a window there? Like, why the window, you know? And I'm thinking, yeah, see, I told you, why the window? Because I was just talking to her about, you know, having discussions about that. But you look at different things, you think, what is the purpose for that window? Now, that purpose was to give Buzz false hope, right, that he could fly. So if that window wasn't there, he probably would have been fine, and him and Woody would have had a great day. But you saw what happened. His arm fell off. But anyway, so today we're just going to look at a few windows that appear in your life. And I'm going to guarantee that all three of these are in your life today. And we're just going to look at, the title of my message is Why the Window. So as we look at these three, I want you to just ask yourself, why this window? So let's pray and we'll get into the message. Father, I thank you for today. I thank you for just your goodness to us and your long-suffering, so long-suffering, your mercy, you're just so tender-hearted, and Father, we thank you so much for who you are and what you are, what you've been, and just being so constant for us is what we need, and we thank you for that, and I pray that you just be with the message tonight, Father, that would be glorifying to you, that it would exalt your word and the truths that are in it. Father, that it would be a help to somebody here tonight. We all need help. That's why we come to church, to get some help, Father. And I pray that you'd it would be some help to somebody tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so why the window? That's the question. You look at it and say, why the window? Well, I came across this passage, and our first point is a window of light. And we're going to be right in the text here, verse number 4. And for the house he made windows of narrow lights. Now, why this window? Well, if you don't use it, others won't have the opportunity to reap the benefits of the gospel. The ability given to show and tell others about the light. That's why this window. You know, in this temple here, there's a window made of narrow light. And it just so happens that, the Bible says, "What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you?" So you need to you have that window in yourself. And what does it need to do? It needs to be a window for narrow light, some light to be able to escape out of it. And you know where I'm going with it, but we're going to go there with it. And there's no getting around the similitudes that are there. Look at John chapter 1. John chapter 1. So John chapter 1. And we'll just read a few verses here about the light. We'll start off in we'll just read 6 through 9. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Now that's exactly the example that needs to be followed. And it also follows suit with Matthew chapter 5. And I'm going to flip there. If you'd like to, you can. If not, then you can just go ahead and listen. But verses 14 in Matthew chapter 5, the Bible says, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Now, you have that light. We have that light. We're saved, folks, all right? If you're born again, you have that window of light. And the question is, what are you doing with that window of light that you've been given? There's been a whole lot of absolute statements that are throughout this scripture. Ye are. You know, there's all sorts of absolutes. So when you look through the Bible and you think of how the Bible is never wavering, there's never questions about statements that are important. They're always absolute statements. And that's a blessing and something you can hold on to. You know, if you let your light so shine before men, they'll see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You know, Vance Havner said, "We are not here to learn how to live in the dark, but to walk in the light." And the thing you need to be doing is showing others the light, simply. It's a very simple first point, but it's obviously so necessary, but that light, the farther we go down the line of time, as we're in 2026, and we'll probably just keep on trekking forward until the Lord comes back, the further we get on in time, the more stuff is going to be covering up that light. You know, I did have a little Pastor Legoism here, and I was going to say in memory of him, but he's still around. So I have a light with me. Now, you have that light, right? You have your light within you, but are you letting it shine out? So this is a very bright light. Now you can see the beam up there, very bright, very hot. If you leave it right there for a while, it's going to start to burn. But if all I do with this light is just kind of put my hand over and just have it ready, I still have the light, but it's not doing the right. It's not fulfilling its purpose. It's not doing the job it's supposed to do. I'm supposed to have it. That was blinding. I'm supposed to have it shining out for a purpose, right? Highlighting something, showing something, and that's the reason for it. You have a window of light given to you right now. You need to let your light so shine before it's too late. Before it's too late, you know. You're going to have all sorts of situations, all sorts of opportunities come across you in your life to let your light shine. More directly, some of them, and some indirectly, but just to let it shine. You know, we were on our way back from somewhere. We've driven so much this last year. But we were driving back from someplace. I think it was maybe Gatlinburg. I don't know. We were at a gas station, so I'll leave it at that. We pull into the gas station, and there's some other folks getting gas next to us at the gas pumps, because that's what you do at gas pumps. And so I look over, and you get that feeling like, oh, I should probably give them a track. I'm not going to, though. And then you start fighting. You're like, oh, man, you really got to now. What are you going to just not do it? What a pathetic person you are. You know, you start fighting with yourself, and you're like, all right, I'm going to do it. Well, I think they're going to walk away, though, so I'm not going to have a chance, really. You know, you start doing that. Everybody does that. So I look over, and there's a lady sitting in the driver's seat, and then an older gentleman. She looked like she was the lady in the seat looked like she was probably 55-ish, maybe. And then the man next that was standing out getting ready to pump the gas was probably 70, late 70s, 80s, I don't know. But I walked over because I just got rejected from a couple of nice young men that told me that they didn't need it, and in a very pleasant way. And so I went over there and gave them the track, offered the track to the fella. And, you know, he just said, excuse me, sir. And boom, here's that light that's just starting to shine. Okay, you let that window of light just take effect, do what it's supposed to do. And I start talking to the fella, and this lady, she's just taken back, and in a good way. She gets out of her car, and she starts crying. And just not like breaking down sobbing crying like I do sometimes when I preach, but she is just, you know, the tears are there, and she goes, I cannot believe it. And I'm thinking, oh boy, what is she about to tell me? And she said, you know, I was sitting here, and I was thinking, man, I really need to ask that guy to pray for me. Yeah, that's right. Wild, wild stuff. But when you let your light shine, people see light, right? When I have this light on, I mean, everybody, you can see it. I'm not going to shine it straight at you because you'll be blind. But you see the light when it comes on and when it points out. And she goes, my sister's having seizures horribly, and I'm trying to get to her right now. And I saw you, and I thought, man, I want to ask, for some reason, I feel like I need to ask that man to pray for my sister, for myself. I said, oh, gladly. I said, there's no coincidences with the Lord. And she's a saved person, and got to pray for her sister. But I said, oh, let's say this. You know, none of that would have happened if I had just, you know, kept that window shut. Kept the light to myself and said, well, I have the light. I'm good. I'm heading to heaven. I don't need to let it shine out anymore. It's mine. Mine only. And just cover it up. You got to let your light so shine. Ye are the light of the world. You know, let your light so shine before men. You have to do it. You have to. You say, well, I might not. It's a bad life to have. Just keeping that. It's a selfish life to have. This window, it's open right now for you. I promise you that. Let it shine. So the Bible says, let your light so shine. And that's a choice that's able to be made. You have the choice. So you can either let it shine or just don't let it shine. But you have to direct the light out like the flashlight. And you say, well, things are getting so dark around me. Well, I'll tell you what, if we turn these lights down, that light would illuminate a lot more. You'd see it a lot more. Darkness, it can't put out a light. All it can do is make it brighter. Every time. You know, there's a lot of people, it's kind of like that lighthouse, and you ought to be a lighthouse, folks. A place where you have that sense of direction. They see where the shore is. They can gauge where they're at in the sea by the lighthouse. Maybe they're out in a storm, they're trying to make it to shore. They see that lighthouse, they know which direction is the right way to go. And we ought to be doing that, sending that light out in that stormy sea of the world, trying to draw others to safety. Which is going to lead into our next point, a window of escape. So we have the window of light and a window of escape. Why this window? Well, go to 1 Samuel chapter 19. So 1 Samuel chapter 19, and we'll read verses, we'll go 10 through 18. Excuse me. So 1 Samuel 19 verse 10, and Saul sought to smite David even to the wall with the javelin, but he slipped away out of Saul's presence, and he smote the javelin into the wall, and David fled and escaped that night. Saul also sent messengers unto David's house to watch him and to slay him in the morning. And Michal, David's wife, told him, saying, "If thou save not thy life tonight, tomorrow thou shalt be slain." So Michal let David down through a window, and he went and fled and escaped. Michal took an image and laid it in the bed and put a pillow of goat's hair for his bolster and covered it with a cloth. And when Saul sent messengers to take David, she said, "He is sick." And Saul sent the messengers again to see David, saying, "Bring him up to me in the bed that I may slay him." And when the messengers were coming, behold, there was an image in the bed with a pillow of goat's hair for his bolster. And Saul said unto Michal, "Why hast thou deceived me so, and sent away mine enemy, that he is escaped?" Michal answered Saul, "He said unto me, 'Let me go. Why should I kill thee?'" So David fled and escaped and came to Samuel to Ramah and told him all that Saul had done to him. And he and Samuel went and dwelt in Naoth. Now this next window, it's a window of escape. It's a window of escape. David's wife, she let him down through a window. And he went and he fled and he escaped. Why this window? Because if you don't get out this one, you're going to be in trouble. You're going to be in trouble. There's temptations, there's sins, there's all sorts of stuff surrounding you. And you think, well, there's no way out. You got to look for that window. The window's there. There's always a window of escape. 1 Corinthians, you can go ahead and turn there and look at the scripture. It's quoted very often, but it's good to look at it and read it. But 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 13, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." There's always a way out. There's a window of escape. David found it here. He escaped with his life. That might not have happened if he didn't take that window out. You know, there's somebody that's after you. It's a thief. It's a thief. You know, you have all these different sins and stuff, and they're all thieves. They're all thieves, but the thief, the Bible says in John 10:10, "He cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy." He wants to steal your joy. He wants to kill your testimony, and he wants to destroy your life. All of that, he would just relish and love it. And all those things that you need to escape out of, away from, they're all looking to do the same exact thing to you. All of it. They'll steal your joy, they'll kill your testimony, and destroy your life. Just like that. It will happen to you if you don't go through that window of escape. God has provided for you. How good of a God he is to make a way out. He could have said, they're smart enough. You know, they have a 17 Pro, iPhone now. I mean, they can figure out a window out on their own. No, we need the way to make a way out. The question is, how many times have you seen that window of escape and thought there might just be a different option? There might be a different way. You might be all right. You might survive it. I can tell you there's been plenty of times where I'd see the way out and I thought, I might be okay. And I wasn't. I wasn't. But I don't, it's just our nature, the natural man and that sin nature that's like, I know God provided a way, but that's okay. I'll pass. You know, you have something right now that's after you, and the Lord is showing you through, Pastor Kenny and through different preachers preaching throughout this place and in your Bible reading, maybe, just the way of escape. I mean, we just read it in the Scripture that there's a way of escape in 1 Corinthians. But it's been shown you time and time again why you're just staring at the window. It's kind of like, hey, your way is right. All you got to do is just climb through. It takes a little effort, but you can do it. Now, in 2022, there was a fellow named Nick Bostic. He He ran into a burning home after seeing flames. After rescuing several people, he learned a 6-year-old girl was still inside. He found her upstairs, but the stairs were blocked by fire. His only option was a second-story window. Holding the little girl, he broke the glass and jumped to safety. The child survived with only minor injuries. He had multiple injuries, but they made it out. The thing about that story is they made it out. Will they make it out through? Their only option, a window. Had to get out. They would have died without that window being there. He brought that fellow, Nick, he brought that girl through. And God will bring you through too. That scripture said, but God is faithful. And he sure is. He'll be right there with you. You say, I can't go through alone. Good. He can go with you. He can go with you. In 2004, Dale Earnhardt Jr., he was competing in a sports car race in Sonoma Raceway when his Corvette crashed and caught fire after a fuel line ruptured. And you can find the video of this online. It's wild seeing it. His fuel line ruptured. Flames quickly spread around the car. They flames all inside, engulfing him. And because race cars, they don't have doors, his only escape was through the driver's side window. He climbed out and survived, though he suffered second and third degree burns to his neck, chin, and legs. Later, Earnhardt Jr. said that he remembered the fire, but had a little memory of getting out. Even wondered if somebody had pulled him out. And you watch the video, nobody pulled him out. But how did he make it out of that fire? Through a window. That was the only way. He wasn't going through the roof. He wasn't going through any other way. Window is the only way. You know, you're going to get in a bad spot, and that window of escape, that's your only way out. You can't just sit there and do nothing with this one. You've got to make this choice. You got to go through it. Why? Because it's the only way to escape that danger. A window of escape. You hear sad stories day in and day out of just people that, man, they were such an upright citizen, such a great church member, just born again, doing this, and this, and then they're out. They're gone. Why? There's a way out for them, a way of escape out of whatever issue was going on in their life, and they didn't take it. It's not always the case, but well, I'm sure if you were to talk to some of those people and give their testimony about some things, they know where the windows are that they should have jumped through and they didn't. I can tell you in my life where the windows are that I should have jumped through and I didn't, and I paid for it. Paid for it. Now, the last thing we'll look at is in 2 Chronicles chapter 2. So 2 Chronicles 2. So we have the window of light, we have a window of escape, and then we have a window of opportunity. Now, if you take the light and the escape and the opportunity, and you put those together, those first letters, that's Leo, and that means nothing. So there you go. That was for Brother Viscom. All right, so 2 Chronicles chapter 2, verse number 1, just one verse, and Solomon determined to build a house for the name of the Lord. And a house for his kingdom. A window of opportunity. Window of opportunity. You know, he determined to do something for God. Determined. He had determination to do something for the Lord. He saw the window of opportunity and went through it. You know, he didn't say, oh man, I wish I had more help with this or that. You know, he had determination. I mean, do you understand? With determination, you're getting after it. You're saying, hey, I'm doing this. If I was determined to go through those doors, I mean, I'm going to be doing everything I can to make it through those double doors, even if Mike Stanton comes and grabs me. So I'm going to still be fighting, trying to get through. But it's the determination about it. Now notice in the chapter before that, wisdom and knowledge were asked of the Lord before he could press forward. Look at verse number 10 in the previous chapter. Give me now wisdom and knowledge, that I may go out and come in before this people, for who can judge this thy people that is so great? So he's asking for wisdom and knowledge. And if you go through the Proverbs of Solomon, it's all about wisdom and knowledge and wisdom and understanding, and pushes the importance of it. Proverbs 4:5, get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not. there is a very big stress, a push for it, saying, hey, this stuff is important. And it played true in his life here, saying, I would like some wisdom and knowledge. And then he has some determination after that going forward. Say, how do I get wisdom? Well, James 1:5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Now you'll have windows of opportunity show up in your life. They'll show up all the time in your life. Or maybe you're just looking at one right now, but you must ask for wisdom and knowledge about it before jumping through that window. You have to. That's how people get hurt. Not understanding how, if that's the right window to jump through. Just because an opportunity is in front of you doesn't mean you jump at it. Make sure about it. Discernment must be applied in this situation. Discernment. Weighing the odds, trying the spirits, seeing what's right, what's wrong, getting a solid answer from the Lord. Not a murky answer that you think might or might not. It's got to be a solid, clear. Once you've sought the Lord for these and have determination and go through the window. You know, there's ministries that are just tailored to who you are as an individual. There's people, it's like that puzzle where you need that right piece to go down in the puzzle, in the hole. And there's ministries, there's different things in your life that, I mean, it fits you. It fits you. They're tailored for you. It's a fit and an opportunity. You know, I think of our pastors here that have gone over, you know, Pastor Kenny and Pastor Legault, and done the India trips, and the window was open and it was available to go. And they knew it was the right thing to do, and the proof is in the pudding. I mean, you can see the way the Lord blesses what is done, and just the word of God being flourished and preached, and folks getting saved, and you know, but there's always prayer and asking for wisdom and understanding about saying, hey, if this isn't right, I'm not going to push it, but if this isn't right, the Lord needs to just show me it's not right. And you ought to have your life like that. I think of our journey to Tennessee, the land where no one talks like me. So it's been a journey. It's been a different journey. And so recently we had our brother Knowles, our pastor, he had resigned the church and went into evangelism. I saw that coming down the pike, just not this soon. I'm happy for him and his wife. I love them to death. They're great friends and have helped me just tremendously, tremendously. But I'll tell you what, you know, we were going down there, and everybody I talked to a year and a half ago or more, it's like going down to help out Brother Knowles, going down to help out the Knowleses in Tennessee and going to help him out, and then the hymn's not there. You know, and you think, okay, this is interesting. I remember when I was told, when he had told me what was going on, and that the Lord was directing me, he was going into evangelism full time and resigning the church. This last week, the 28th, I think, was his last Sunday there. And he told me that, and my mind's just million miles an hour, thinking, wow, okay, I don't like this at all. This is a lot to take in. You know, I'm thinking all this, but it was okay. Why was it okay? Because before I ever decided to just get in our vehicle and leave New York, I had to make sure that this was the right thing to do. Because a situation like this, wouldn't you be like, well, I made a huge mistake. I made a mistake because I got down here, and a year later, the guy I came down to help is gone. Time to pack my bags, I guess. I don't know. I wasn't paying attention as much as I should have to the Lord's leading. But no, I had absolute surety that we're supposed to be there. I told Tanya, I told Brother Knowles as well. I said, man, I'd be in a panic if I didn't know I was supposed to be here. But I know I am. So we're just going forward, just one foot after another, and just keep trekking forward, and we're going to stay there and continue to be a help and a minister to Pastor Tim Hoffenbridle now there, a great man, and he graduated PBI, I think, back in 17 or 18, and he's been at the church for about 5 years, but me and Tanya, we'll stay there and minister and try to be a help as much as we can as the Lord allows us and has us there. But like I said, this big thing that happened, you want to make sure the Lord's in it, because things happen just like that. All these circumstances come up in your life that you don't plan, obviously. And you have to understand, hey, am I doing what the Lord wants me to do? Am I in the Lord's will, where I'm heading, the direction I'm going? And just take that moment to question yourself. And if it's yes, I am in the Lord's will, I know I'm supposed to be doing with this, well, then you just have to deal with this. And just go forward and trust the Lord. You know, in the fall of 1934, a couple of years ago, Mordecai Ham, he held a series of revival meetings in Charlotte, North Carolina. The attendance was uneven at first, and there was controversy in the city surrounding some of Ham's preaching. He must have been a Bible believer, preacher. despite that, the meeting continued for several weeks. A local businessman named Frank Graham encouraged his teenage son, Billy, to attend. One evening, Ham preached the need for personal salvation. Billy was deeply convicted. And on November 1st, 1934, at 16 years old, Billy Graham trusted Christ. Graham went on to preach in more than 185 countries and territories, saw thousands upon thousands saved through his ministry over 70 years, give or take. Now, with that story, that account, Mordecai Ham, he saw a window of opportunity. He got pushback for the meetings that he was having, but he had a window of opportunity, and he went through the window, held these meetings. He was redeeming the time. He was doing what he knew was right to do. And he went through it determined for the Lord. You know, when he had the problems with the city, he could have said, okay, I guess I'm getting pushback. Oh, maybe I'll just cut it short. You know, maybe the day before Billy Graham might have got saved. I don't know. But this man, he had the determination. He went forward and did what was right. When you do things God's way, He's responsible for the results. He's responsible for the results. Ham had no idea what would come from going through that window, but God did. And now thousands and thousands do. Saved under Billy Graham's ministry throughout all those years, especially throughout all his early years. All that just because somebody else had some determination. And then this man has some determination. Windows of opportunity, taking them, going through them, but making sure you're doing it the right way. Because there's all sorts of opportunities to do stuff. Job opportunities, any opportunity you can think of. But just because it's right there in front of you and it's a wide open window of opportunity doesn't mean it's the right window to jump through. It might be a window for somebody else to jump through and you're just looking at their window. But you got to make sure it's your window to jump through. Now, wrapping this up tonight, you know, we ask the question, why the window? You know, we go through life so much, we just don't think anymore. It's just kind of a blur, doom scroll, just bury our face in a screen or whatever it is. You know, and we just get dulled and dumbed down. And we just don't think about, and I'm guilty of this, not thinking and considering things. Trying to be reasonable about stuff and reason with different items in my life. Why the window? There's more windows out there that I just didn't bring up, but I mean, we don't have all night. But there's these three. There's that window of light, there's a window of escape, and a window of opportunity. You know, you need to be that lighthouse that's out there to help those that are lost in life see. You never know who you're going to reach. Tell you what, if Mordecai Hammy, if he didn't have that window of light that he used and utilized in his life, and I'm sure he had to jump through windows of escape, he wouldn't have been to the place where he could jump through that window of opportunity and then affect millions after that, maybe. That window of escape, it's readily available to you right now. Right now, it's right there in front of you. That's the one that you don't have to think about going through. You need to get out. The building's on fire, it's time to get out. That's it. You can escape the danger, but an effort has to be made. It's that all these windows are going to take effort to get through or to use. All right, it's just things don't just happen by themselves. You got to be part of it. You and the Lord. If God is in it, go through it. Use the window. Utilize that window. If you know it's open for you, be careful hesitating too long when you're looking at these windows, using these windows, because sometimes windows get shut. Sometimes they get shut. You know, we don't know how long we have to be able to minister. We have the street preaching ministry and here, and we have it down at Holy Hills as well. And you don't know how long that window is going to be open. All sorts of windows that we have as Americans or as Christians, you don't know when that window is going to shut, or something that you could have done, but the window's done. It's shut. It got shut, and it's time to move on for whatever else it is. But these three windows in your life, consider them tonight. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for tonight. I thank you for this church and just what it means to everybody in this building and what's meant in my life throughout my life. It's been good to be here, Father, throughout the years, and I do appreciate you just speaking through your words. I pray that this was a help, Father, and a blessing to somebody that just needs something, needs just a little bit of help this evening. In Jesus' name, amen.